This is Ariski Dawood, Principal Analyst at risk advisory firm Meyer Risk LLC, and I am also the editor of the North Africa Journal. This is a brief called In Case You Missed It. Unlike the podcasts that typically last more than 20 minutes, In Case You Missed It is meant to be very brief, relatively speaking, informative, and can cover one or more topics of the day.
We are the 26th of November 2020, and today's brief is about Tunisia, with the title of Tunisia facing a chaotic situation as economic woes could bring back to power extremist politicians. Now, Tunisia is certainly a boiling cauldron these days. It is clear that the COVID-19 pandemic is having a drastic impact on the country on many fronts. But the system put in place after the 2011 Jasmine Revolution, which was praised around the world as paving the way for the first democracy in the Arab world, has simply stalled. While the economy is facing unprecedented challenges, the very negative effects of such challenges could bring to power not only the Islamo-conservative movement that has already attempted to govern in 2011 and failed, but also the party that ruled under dictator Ben Ali, both of which are really a bad idea for Tunisia going forward. Now, from the get-go, the Tunisian government is in trouble because it needs 9 billion dinars, roughly 2.8 billion euros, to close the 2020 budget loop, and is having a hard time finding that money. Furthermore, it needs an additional 20 billion dinars, equivalent to about 6 billion euros, for its 2021 budget. Now, Tunisia is facing a tough economic crisis, made worse by, obviously, the pandemic. Making the situation even more difficult, Tunisia's sovereign rating is at its lowest, and therefore the country would be paying higher interest rates if it is to raise money on the international financial market. Now, the latest news on that front comes from rating agency Fitch Ratings, which has just downgraded the outlook for the Tunisian sovereign ratings from stable to negative. That assessment was made on the 23rd of November 2020, that's about 3 days ago. The agency says the negative outlook reflected a worsening of fiscal liquidity risks due to a sharp deterioration in public finances as a result of the pandemic. The agency also added that the budget deficit will widen to reach 10.5% of GDP in 2020, that is this year, compared to 3.3% last year. Now, the technocratic cabinet of Prime Minister Mashishi has taken over government at a very difficult time for Tunisia. The 2020 Complementary Finance Law already requires, as I said, 9 billion dinars, despite the 2 billion euros obtained in June and in July in the form of aid and loans to deal with COVID-19. The situation is all the more difficult as the latest economic data suggests. Tunisia benefits little from its natural resources, with a phosphate production which has never exceeded, since 2011, half of the 8 million tons of 2010, leading to the virtual bankruptcy of the Kafsa Phosphates company, which employs a staff 2.5 times higher than in 2010. So that not only production is substantially lower, but the payroll and other employment charges are 2.5 times higher than what it used to be. Oil activity is also at its lowest. After more than 3 months of protests and sit-ins in producing areas, that is from July to November, depriving Tunisia of revenues exceeding 100 million euros or 300 million dinars. All this means that the gross domestic product would end the year most likely at negative 7%, which is, by the way, an unprecedented development since the establishment of a budget in Tunisia. Compounding the problem, the Central Bank of Tunisia does not agree with the government's economic plan. Called to speak about the economy and monetary situation before the National Assembly, the governor of the Central Bank, Marwan Abbasi, openly criticized the economic policies of the successive governments. He stated that, and I quote, "It's not normal for the government to go into debt to pay salaries, Loans are used to invest and create wealth. Such an attitude does not help the economy recover. End of quote. Abessi has so far resisted the calls for printing more money in order to finance a supplementary budget bill. However, faced with the pressure from various lobby groups, the central bank is likely to cave in. It has demanded a written note from the National Assembly to justify such action before it potentially proceeds. The move may be necessary because there is a shortage of 20 billion dinars to close the 2020 budget, with the most optimistic economic projection considering a 1% GDP growth compared to 2019. But the reality is that any country that ends up showing positive growth this year is likely a fake number, given the impact of COVID on economic activity. But where to get the money? Tunisia has been increasingly unpopular in international institutions and risks being classified as a bad payer, even if until now it has never failed to fulfill its obligations. Domestically, the situation is no better. Impatience within the population is running high, and it is at its highest on the eve of the 10th anniversary of the Jasmine Revolution. Citizens are losing hope, and many say they do not expect things to change, except to get worse. In particular in the job market, with growing unemployment. Officially, the unemployment rate rose from 15% to 19% of the active workforce. The actual number is obviously bigger than what the government publishes. Regions that have long struggled with high levels of poverty have worsened, and officials at the country's biggest trade union, UGTT, blame corruption for crippling the economic and administrative sectors. Popular anger has recently expanded into street protests, with demonstrators spread in the country's interior to demand work and investments in the traditional marginalized regions. AFP News Agency reported yesterday that the latest protests in the country's center and south came after residents of the southern city of Tataouine reached a November 7 deal with the government to end a month-long blockade of an oil installation. Promises by the government to create economic projects and jobs obviously did not appease the population, and in the central region of Kasserine, residents have been blocking the Douleb oil field, demanding a halt in production to force the authorities to honor previous promises towards the region. AFP also says production at the field was suspended on Monday, the 23rd of November, the latest in a string of similar blockades. In Gabès, in the southeast, hundreds of demonstrators have been holding a sit-in in front of the city's industrial zone. Protesters blocked roads and hobbled industrial activities, with anger against the government running really high. On 24 November, residents demonstrated in the delegation of Matlaoua and Aksar, as well as in Moual Res, where the finance office was raided and burglarized. Protesters closed several roads to denounce the policies of Prime Minister Hichem Mechichi, which they deem ridiculous and insufficient, and I'm quoting here. Riot police were deployed to prevent an increase in violence, especially in Matlaoui, where tension has reached its peak. Although residents of Gafsa also oppose the government, they have also denounced the acts of violence, insisting that they have no connection whatsoever with the individuals who looted the revenue department. Unions are also concerned that in the midst of a prolonged economic turmoil, political parties that advocate extremist ideas could be making major gains and potentially a comeback. In future elections, observers warn that the Free Desturian Party, against which the Tunisian revolted in 2011, and the Islamists of An-Nahda, which brought failed policies right after disgraced dictator Ben Ali left, could eventually be the winners if the polls are to be believed. Now for Tunisia, the situation looks rather grim, but we're all rooting for the country that has the biggest chance of adopting real democracy. The Tunisian experimentation needs everyone's support. While we do not anticipate Gulf monarchies to come to the rescue, given their traditional resistance against democratic demands in the Arab world, we hope at least the new Biden administration will find it critically important to support Tunisia. A successful, prosperous, democratic, peaceful Tunisia could be a blueprint for many other nations to follow. And with that, thank you for your time. Until next time, goodbye.
Thank you for listening. To subscribe to our podcast series, please visit mea-risk.com/audio. That is mea-risk.com/audio to find out more. If you are interested in a 6-month trial for our critical incident awareness and notification system, please visit shield-alert.com. That is shield-alert.com. Until our next podcast, thank you and goodbye.